Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Okay, 6:30?
6:30 on the dot, right?
Right on the dot.
Awesome. We've got a lot on the agenda, but I think we can get through it rather quick, some of the issues. So what we're going to do is I'd like to approve the minutes of our last meeting, October 19th.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Everybody got to read them? Any,
yes,
any problems? Oh, my gosh. Can somebody turn the lights off? Look at that shirt. Look at his shirt. The 80s called. They want their clothes back. Okay, all in favor?
A little blinding.
All in favor of moving the resolution?
Blinds that go across there.
Opposed? Carried. 5-0. Okay, what I'd like to do... Glenn and Wayne and Brian, I'm going to let you guys go second,
okay.
If that's okay. No, we'll let you guys go. We want to get everybody who's here. We're going to take the local law, the pet sellers. Actually, that's first on the list, Resolution 357. So what I'd like to do is formally refer it back to the Criminal Justice Committee.
We got a little confused the last time, and I think what we did was we postponed it, and we didn't actually send it back as we kind of intended. So once it came up in caucus, I think that was the gist of that. I think we all agreed that it was supposed to go back there, but we didn't actually formally do that. So I agree.
I thought we did, but I...
No, I think if you read the minutes, we didn't actually formally do that.
Yeah, can I ask why we're sending it back to Criminal Justice? Why don't we just... kill it here. I mean,
I think there's some valid stuff in here that could be dealt with. But I think they've been dealing with it, and it's their issue. So my take on it, I would rather send it back.
I think it would help if we're specific, as I asked the readers to be, about what our recommendations or any of our individual recommendations are. And I know one of them was the concern about the nine versus, at one point, Legislator Ronk said he would put it up to
15
if a not infrequent litter size is 12, it should be more than 9. So that was one concern. There's a list of concerns in the minutes that you raised. Maybe we should just forward a copy of the minutes.
Can
we
do that?
Yeah, it's definitely. That's what I was saying. Well, you also, I mean, it points out here there was a number of things. One was a non-governmental contract agency actually carrying it out, and they're actually acting like a police officer, basically, even though they don't work for the county and they're not a police officer. And they're able to go into your house to examine things. And basically, these people that are, they breed their pet. I mean, they don't really have the same thing that we think of as a breeder, that their dog sleeps with them in their bed. I mean, what are you doing? You're going and examine their bedroom? And, it gets a little
that's
crazy.
Problematic.
Can I just make a quick comment? I think we've discussed this a lot. If we refer to the Criminal Justice Committee, which I think is fair, there's not enough time to have a public hearing and to pass it this year, so it would be the new legislature would take it up in January or February if they feel that it's something they want to move forward with. So I don't even think we, not that I don't cut anybody off, but I don't even think we, you know, because if we vote it down, then people can get signatures and bring it to the floor, which I'm not opposed to either.
I think we should just send it back to Criminal Justice. That's what they wanted. They requested it.
And so is there a motion to refer to the Criminal Justice Committee?
I'll make that motion.
Second, Legislator Green. All in favor of referring it back to Criminal Justice Committee?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 5-0. So we took
definitive action.
Is that all? I mean, does anybody want to speak on that quick, or...?
The only confusion I have is that the same as law enforcement and public safety?
Yeah.
It changes names every few years.
Well,
we change the names. People that have been around here for a while, we forget the name of it. We just know what it does, and we send it over there because we change the names.
So we'll talk to Legislator Briggs, and we'll
send it with a copy of the minutes.
Yeah, and
that section of the minutes.
Yeah, and actually, I'll find out when it is in December, but I'd like to go to the meeting, so I'll make a point to go. So, all right. Next point of business is the Periodic Compensation Review Committee. This is great. Thanks for Wayne and Chairman Noonan. Thank you, guys. Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
And former legislator Cahill, thanks for coming. We just felt some of us it was fair to, because the proposal, the resolution put forward was different, is different than some of the ideas you folks had, and we'd just like to hear where your report, where your thoughts are on it. So, the floor is Chairman Noonan's.
I'll start out with the way it's written is we make the recommendation and we give the rationale, and I sat with your father, and I sat with the county executive, and I explained the rationale of what we were doing, what we were trying to do, and why we were doing it. It seems that not necessarily this time, the time 2 years prior to this one, the committee discovered when a couple of committee members at that time asked for a full compensation review, okay? And that brought up the fact of the compensation package for legislators in general. And that carried over to this committee, whereas there was a big disparity, okay, in compensation. You have two legislators sitting next to one another. One is making $10,000. The other one's making over $40,000. $30,000 is a big difference in compensation. And they're both doing the same job, have the same responsibility, have the same voting power. So that was, one of the main purposes of what we tried to do. We bounced around several ideas of how to try to bring equity to the legislative salaries. There was some legislator Ron came in and spoke to the committee, and there was some misstatements that he came out with in the press afterwards about the fact that the legislature was never aware that the compensation committee was looking into that particular issue, and that was reported in the prior report, not this report, mm-hmm. the prior mm-hmm. report. There was a mention of the same problem we addressed at that time, and the legislature, according to him, would have been happy to sit down and discuss it and try to work through it, but they never addressed it with the compensation committee. Because, I mean, now, as chairman, I would be happy to see if the legislature could come up with a policy to somehow bring some equity in the compensation so that you don't have the big range. I would have no problem calling the committee together to sit down and try to discuss it. But to just, I know Mr. Wrong said in the paper the other day that, you're going to get a different breed of people or a better breed of people, and you're going to get more people that are going to be willing to try to do it. Well, let's be realistic. We have five people that volunteered to do this compensation committee. We spent 4 or 5 months and numerous meetings preparing this, and then we read in the paper that it was just thrown away and you're going to do what you want to do anyhow, and you're not taking into consideration any of the recommendations. It wasn't like the committee sat down and made one recommendation. We put five recommendations in there for you, and you couldn't take any one of those five. You just said, basically, you told us when he came in here and spoke to us, and he said Dave couldn't make it that night. Dave was going to come in with him. He said, this is what we want. And you know what? That's what he put the resolution in for, just what he wanted the first time. We could have saved us 8 meetings. We didn't have to go to those meetings. I mean, now try to find 5 people that are going to want to volunteer for a committee, for any committee in the county, when they know that what they do and the time they spend is going to be for naught. Mm-hmm. So, that's basically my concern.
Can I let Legislator Green ask?
Yeah.
Glennon and Brian's up next.
Okay.
Do you have a question for me?
Why don't you let them go?
Yeah.
She has a question, so it's fresh on her mind.
I don't... Somewhere along the way, I did see some of the options. And then I'm not sure how it got from the various options to the recommendation.
Okay, so let me shed a little my perception of this process. The proposal that the legislature is looking at now that was put forward by Legislator Ronk, Mr. Chairman, was in fact presented to the committee for consideration. And we looked at it and we felt that it wasn't adequate enough to, with all the work that we did in the background. Now mind you, as Chairman Noonan stated, we did a lot of research. We did a lot of math. We were very, very fortunate to have Dr. Jerry Benjamin on the committee, who was able to, use his staff to do some of this research for us and crunch the numbers. We compared, all different criteria, whether the staff levels were, what the committee assignments were, how many legislators there were, what the salaries were, whether or not they got compensation for medical insurance or not.
Statewide, we might add. Statewide.
Statewide. It wasn't something willy-nilly, that somebody came in and pitched for 5 minutes and walked out the door, which is what you guys have in front of you now. I mean, we spent a lot of time on it, and what we basically did was came up with a package that, and believe me, all five of us on the committee had differences of opinion on certain aspects of that proposal, and it was really a compromise proposal that was presented to the legislature overall for consideration. And, we did in fact consider the proposal that's in that resolution and pretty much rejected it out of hand as inadequate for what the committee's responsibilities were.
In all fairness, to answer your question, Manager, I don't know how it got that way either. Just so happened that one day of the last month that I click on the Freeman website, and I get the front page story about this raise, and then at 1 o'clock I get an email from John's secretary in there about this meeting tonight. I have no idea where this thing came from, but we turned in our report first week in October. I think I sat with John for a while, talked to him, explained our position on this, and I'll give you a couple other things because I know I've talked to other legislators, and they were asking me, are there other counties where they don't have health insurance? And I said, yes, there are. I'll tell you what, there's counties that don't have legislators that have comparable budgets to what we have, okay? But if your real problem you're dealing with here is the precedent you're setting in breaking the intent of the charter. Now, what happens next year when the county executive does something that sort of bends the intent of the charter? And the legislature doesn't really like it. Well, you know what? You set the precedent, first of all. Second of all, if you look at the numbers here, the CSEA and PBA and the corrections offices for the last 10 years, no, since 2000, actually. They did give me 16 years. They've given back on their health benefits. They went from, the zero, some of them had zero, some of them went up to 10, some of them went up to 20% contribution, okay? And they were getting, CSEA got 1.75, 2, and the 2 years before that, they took zeros. So you know what? What you're opening up the floodgates for now is what happens next time a union contract comes in, and you're sitting across the table, and I happen to chair negotiations for years. We had Anthony Solfaro from the PBA, okay? And he sits across the table and says, legislators, you took 40% pay increase last year. My boys here are only looking for 7 or 8. What are you going to take?
We don't negotiate contracts.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, okay. Just to add on to what Glenn's saying, because I think he's on, somewhat, I agree with some of the things he's saying, is that, this will be the second time that the Compensation Committee has met. And if that recommendation is brought forward, it'll be the second time that the Compensation Committee's recommendations have been ignored.
Third time the Compensation Committee.
All right, so it's the third time they've been ignored. So the point being is that the charter does require this Compensation Committee to be, brought together and make recommendations right to the legislature because, in theory, the legislature doesn't, this is supposed to be done before election, right, quite honestly, right? And it wasn't. And the theory is that the legislators wouldn't give themselves a raise. So you need an outside agency to look at it, people who don't have a vested interest in it, to look at it and make the decision for them, a fair decision with a fair proposal, and that's what we did, and it's going to be ignored again.
John and Dave.
If I heard you right, that you guys, in your conversations, your negotiations, you pretty much agree on the end package.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
completely.
So, the little glitch in the meantime, whatever that was or wasn't,
resolved in the final
has been so.
That was created by outside sources.
To get to that, there was agreement.
Yes.
This was our thoughts to you folks. Now you make up your mind. You know, the other thing I was thinking about was the insurance costs. Then I'll get off it quickly. You know, there's been a huge increase in insurance costs since legislators last got their raise, whenever that was. So some folks are getting a raise.
Yes, they are.
Every year.
Yeah, some legislators are getting double-digit increases every year.
Right. Yeah.
When the cost of health insurance goes up.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to ask
you
for the job you've done.
You have legislators
that are making 25% of another legislator. The disparity is absolutely incredible, Robbie. And let me say that.
That's okay.
Brian has said that the committee met three times. Not this committee,
but
there have been three different committees over a period of the last decade that have met on these issues. It's pretty serious stuff when you sit and digest it. Mm-hmm. As Brian said, we looked at stuff statewide using the various associations up in Albany and throughout. A lot of data is collected, which makes it very easy to start to analyze and bring perspective to, you know, our county, its population, its affordability. And basically, in the first two or three meetings, we established that we're going to look strictly at, from a budget point of view, no increase to taxpayers. That's where we're going to come out of this. All right? What's the first thing I read in the paper? Legislators are going to get double salary. Now, how does that read to the public? And what does that do to the people that are in your positions? Stirs the pot. Makes our reports basically meaningless. We are not going in that direction at all. What we're trying to take a look at, and we kept the executive salaries basically right where they are because the data that we had substantiated that, and we all came to an agreement. We said, yeah, everything is fine. That's gone very well. Okay, let's leave that. The major issue by the fourth meeting, and let me say, many, many meetings right in this room, summer and spring meetings. A lot of material was digested, a lot of conferencing on our part, and there were a few snags in terms of differences of opinion, which we leveled out. I was happy to please and just pleased to be with on this committee with these gentlemen. But that big issue is this legislative compensation. That's the big issue that should be looked at. And what is going to happen to medical costs coming down the road with all the new federal legislation and everything else we have? If I were a legislator, I'd want to get that out of my hair pretty quick because you're going to be bouncing this issue around forever. And there's going to be people that are not going to be smiled upon by who's getting that. And I'll tell you, when we looked at this thing, I blacked out all the names. I don't want to know. No names were discussed in this. We were talked, and Brian made a foundation of all of his discussions. And we're talking about the position. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Sure.
What does that position deserve? Now, we finally came to this conclusion of, let's take a look at this medical business. Noel and I have paid our own benefits all our life. We've been in business. It's like paying another mortgage. It's expensive. I can understand why people do that. The comment about how you attract people, we all know about that, too. We've all been public service working for our community. We understand all of that. But if we take the legislative salaries and we make them even across the board, everybody has their own option as to what to do, all right? In essence, some people are going to come out with enough money to go buy their own insurance if they want to. The others are going to do what they want. How they handle that is their business. Not your business anymore. It's their business. So in summarizing this, by forwarding the recommendation to you, what we tried to do is lay something out that is pretty palatable, really, if it's reported on correctly. There is no doubling of salaries or compensation. It all costs the county basically the same amount of money. Piece of cake to me if I was in that legislative body. Piece of cake. Mm-hmm. Unless, perhaps, I'm a little upset because the scales, I'm this guy, right? Now, a legislative body has to weigh that out. Mm-hmm. You know, or put one guy against the other, and that's what we're trying to do here in the future for future legislative bodies. Is built some equity and evenness into this system that's, I think, gone far awry. It's very off kilter. So a lot of material, a lot of time.
We were very sincere about what we forwarded to the body. We'd like to see this, you know, at least considered to some extent and discussed.
I just want to emphasize one point about the expense. The truth is that every proposal that we put forward did not exceed the executive's budgeted line
for the legislature.
For health care for the legislature.
Okay, Legislator Donaldson. And well, we want to welcome Dr. Benjamin. Thanks for coming. We just only about 5-10 minutes, so you have it.
When we take a look at these things, and you're talking about the idea that it's supposed to be budget neutral and things of that nature, what has happened is with the original, when we went from 33 to 23, we reduced that budget. So we're looking at a reduced budget in the first place. It was, I think it was 1998 when the legislature last got an increase. That's in the, you know, in the last decade. I mean, the last
15 years.
Century, basically. The resolution that you have here is a resolution that increases the 4,000. I mean, I can see the argument, maybe it's not too much, whatever the case may be. But it has been 1998 since there was any increases. Now, all legislators have the ability to take health insurance if they wish it or they don't. It's their choice. In the past, there used to be a buyout that covered that, but that was done away with. That was done away with in 2004 or 5 or somewhere around there. I don't remember exactly when. Also, during that period of time, they reduced the salary in that there used to be a pledge plan, which was, everybody understood it was part of the salary. And that covered about anywhere from, depending on how much money you spent, it could be anywhere from about $1,200 to about a little over $2,000. That was also taken out. I don't know if you have this information or not. The other thing that was also reduced was the mileage that, you know, like if somebody coming from Millenville and so on, what they did was they cut off so many miles each way, so it reduced the mileage for those people that have that. Now, you could argue that that's a, you know, before making money on the mileage, I guess. In fact, I just put in for mileage the first time in my 22 years of being here. Because
let's
I
get lost coming to the building?
You drove the car today? You got lost.
Because I went to other things. Normally, I didn't even put that in then. But I put it in. Somebody said, I should put that in. I said, all right. So it was the first time in 22 years, basically, even though I, you know, went to conferences in Albany and, you know, in other places. But
I told you.
I just chose not to do it. But anyway, that's another issue. Now, this 4,000, and last year, 13 people ran unopposed in the legislature. And it goes back, actually, to ancient Greece, why people actually get compensated for their service. Part of the idea was the idea that it ended up being only a wealthy man's game to play politics. That allows somebody else to get involved so they don't have to work that part-time job doing something else. Like, for instance, when I took this job, I gave up a number of things that I did at school, along with some other things, because I couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, because my time was used here. So, in other words, that goes back to that. Now, the last thing that I also want to point out is, in order to adjust the health care and such of that nature, that has to be done by a policy, not by this resolution. It can't be done in this resolution.
That's easy fix.
That's got to be done later.
Yeah.
As a policy change.
Right.
In other words, so and we would have to set that policy, and we would be then, whatever that policy may be, whether, I mean, there's different ways of looking at that. I don't, you know, however we wish to do it. But I don't think in any way in form that this is against the intent of the charter. I think that's pretty much overreaching. That is, the intent of the charter is to have advisory committees and you listen to them, right?
Or ignore them.
That's the point of an advisory committee. That's true. How many times were you on the legislature when the advisory committee came up with something and we didn't adopt it?
Never. That never happened when I was.
I can find those. I'll tell you what. If you want, I'll look for them.
Kidding.
All right. I mean, that's reality. In other words, you do. You move on, but it doesn't mean you're not really ignoring it. You're still listening. But I mean, you know, there's different opinions on things. The other idea is when you're talking about 1 and 2%, as you know, people that work in government and other places, they get certain steps and things like that. But it's 1998 when the last increase was happening, and we're looking at 18 years almost.
It's 16. Okay,
right.
Can
16
I just
plus,
say,
like I said before, the reductions
let's
that took place.
That's only for people that don't take health insurance. People that take health insurance have gotten a raise every year. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Every single year, they've gotten a raise. And a lot more than the public has gotten, the people that are paying it. Because health insurance goes up many years, double digits. So people are getting...
the cost of living going year over year over year from the time the legislature...
Actually, the
cost
is
to other...
Okay.
Say again?
Okay, let's sit agreeing. I'm sorry.
As someone who believes in universal health care, the issue of paying 50%, 40% of the health care to me seems exorbitant. A contribution maybe, but these are huge contributions. Some people by circumstance have a spouse who has health care and it covers them. Other people don't. We all need health care. And so this is a sticking point for me. I do appreciate the research that you did. I also agree with Legislator Donaldson that this does not need to be budget neutral if it's been, I don't know how many years, I take your word for it.
16
years since there's been a salary increase, you know, benefits aside. So I really appreciate the work you've done and the explanation having, because I had seen something like this. I think it was a condensed version of it. Maybe it was in the paper. And then when I saw the legislation, I didn't know how we got from here to there. So now I'm much more clear about that. But in terms of the actual issues of debate, it seems to me that $4,000 a year across the board over 16 years is a reasonable increase, and that the health care is a very different issue. And as we know, this country is completely divided on what we should do about health care to the benefit of the insurance companies who keep gouging us more and more. So perhaps I've been listening to the debates too carefully, but this is my concern.
I'm just going to say quick, we're part-time people. The town of Marbletown, about 6 years ago, took health insurance away from elected town board members. This past year, starting January 1st, town judges who make $18,000 a year are no longer eligible for health insurance. You know, Little League coaches, soccer coaches, planning board, zoning board members, school board members that put in just as much time, volunteer firefighters that put in just as much time or more than every one of us in this room, elected official here now, and they don't get a nickel for it. So to me, to stand up to think that we're entitled to have health insurance for coming to four meetings a month, five meetings a month.
Ten.
Nobody comes to ten a month here.
And
nobody.
I can document it.
I'd like to see it because I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. Even if it's 10 meetings a month, you get paid a stipend, $10,000. Nobody's saying that that's not worth it. But there are people that put in, you know what, go to a Little League coach who is probably going to 15 practices a month and doing soccer and Little League and football and school board members. They don't ask for a nickel. To me, I just don't think, and I'm not saying get rid of health insurance, but you know what? If this proposal passes, everybody's going to get a $4,000 raise. Health insurance goes up 10% next year. Those of you that take health insurance get another 10% raise. Then it's going to go up 8% the following year. It's going to go up 8%. I don't believe part-time people in this county get the insurance benefits that we get, and we need to be leaders and stand up for the public and say, you know what, we're not going to take benefits that the people in the community don't have.
Rich, can I add something when you're done?
Yeah, let's say Robert hasn't spoken. Self-interest, in my opinion.
You know, I'll probably vote yes for the public hearing, to send it to a public hearing, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to vote no for a raise. I don't think, I don't think in this climate that we should be getting a raise. As for us being part-time, we may be part-time per se, but every minute of every day I'm a county legislator. I got people calling me every day with their problems, running over to their houses with, taking money out of my own pocket to help feed families that, need help. And we all do that. And we're legislators every day, every hour of the day, every minute, whether we go to a pancake breakfast, church.
And so are volunteer firefighters.
I agree.
Don't get paid a nickel.
I agree.
Who have 300 or 400 calls a year.
We're paid legislators.
2 in the morning.
We're not volunteer firemen. Some of us here maybe, but the insurance, maybe we have to look at it and examine it and go forward, but to...
Legislator Frank Cahill, former legislator.
So, just to talk a little bit about what Legislator Green brought up, we took into consideration that, that if you take a $4,000 a year raise, then you would pay 40%. But if you took a $3,000 raise, you'd pay 30%. If you took a $2,000 raise, you only pay 20%. And then we also gave you an option where you doubled your salary and took no insurance whatsoever and went out and got it on the open market like a lot of people do have to do, right? And, there's several options there, to take into consideration where health care will be considered and also health care can be removed from the proposal.
And they were budget neutral.
Everything we put up there was budget neutral to Executive Hines' proposed budget, every one of them.
Rich, can I say something?
Yes.
Just go back to one of the other comments about good salaries, good candidates. Seems to me every year I see county judges and Supreme Court judges running unopposed, and they're making a good salary. So that argument just doesn't hold water to me. ad lib a little bit. I recently put a resolution in to pay $15 an hour, a living wage, to the people that work for the county, not the people that work for you, not the people that work in the drugstore, not the people that work in the hardware store. Couldn't get enough legislators to vote for it. A few here, one, two, wouldn't sign on. What we're looking for with this proposal would give us, based on our own stats about how much time as a collective body we put in, 3 hours, 4 hours a day, whatever it is, well more than $15 an hour that we, as a body, did not want our workers to get. So I really appreciate what you guys did. In other words, in essence, you're saying you take that whatever number is, you whack it up 23, and if I want health insurance, I'd be getting $20,000. I can go out and pay for my health insurance at across the street over here. Is that what you're saying?
That's one of the options.
Everything that's been said at this table tonight. Has been put through our grinder, believe me.
Okay, so I could take my $20,000 and walk across the street to Mary Ann and say, I'd like insurance. Right. And she could say it's going to cost you $6,000 or $12,000 or $19,000. And I could pay it and be no different than anybody else here in terms of where
everybody
I'm costing the county. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Let's Noonan and then...
Rich, I got a couple of things. I guess I'll go down Dave's list first. Dave, you talked about, the things you've given up on 10 legislators you gave up.
He's going to be telling you what it
was there. I'm just going to address it. 10 legislators you gave up, okay? You saved $100,000. That year, the legislative budget went up $185,000. So you actually spent $85,000 plus the $100,000 that you saved us that year, okay? As far as 16 years, I have four counties, and this is only a partial list of the counties in the state.
It's 18, but you keep on saying 16 minutes, okay?
Okay, I have four right here that said more than 10 years, more than 15 years, more than 10 years since they've had their last raises. So, it's not like you're the only one out there that's saying it's been a long
time. It's typical, because they don't want to forgive the raises. That's one of the major problems. I think Dr. Benjamin brought it up before a number of times. is there probably should be some kind of mechanism they make it happen, because what happens is we end up doing this, go 18 years and things like that, which is not
so let's
healthy.
Go 2% a year.
And I think everybody, you know, I think when you brought up the mileage thing, that was just basically, I think everybody supported it because it was basically the people in the city of Kingston, you can walk to the county building from your house when you got other legislators that live 40 miles away. So it was
just
a circumference put around there to block, you know, not to block out anybody, but to say, you know.
Sure it was to block out some people. You're right.
It was to prevent the people that didn't need. It didn't take. Doesn't take you a gallon of gas to get here. Okay, but let me. No, I don't address one more quick thing.
You're good.
Okay, Nana, you addressed the fact of the 40% and the 4% the $4,000 raise. If you look at the legislators' health insurance, there's only 7 legislators out of all of you that will actually cost more than $4,000. Okay, so everybody else would be like some, for example, I won't use it, $7,400. Their health insurance is going to go up 30%, which would be about $2,100. They're paying $700 now. Their health insurance would be $2,800. They're getting $4,000 more. So actually, they're gaining $1,900 by this plan.
It's not true, though.
You're going to get the calculator out.
The numbers are not your numbers are not correct.
Okay,
which numbers are not correct?
But anyway, when you talked about the ideas, and when we change to a new form of government, we also increase a great deal the cost of government, did we not? We've had the county executive, he has assistants, he has all that. But the purpose of that was actually to make a better government in the end. And it wasn't about the idea of squeezing out nickels and dimes. And in my estimation, when you went into this thing, taking a look at it, I believe the premise was wrong. The idea of going into the premise that, oh, we should not increase the budget at all whatsoever, I think that's the wrong premise to take. Just like it would have been the wrong premise when we went through a charter revision and we pushed to have that create the charter with the county executive, if that was the premise, then it would have, in other words...
I don't think that was the premise.
No, it wasn't the premise.
Well, actually,
exactly. That was not the premise. I didn't want the premise to be that.
Let's say nothing. We didn't realize that we were within the budgeted amount of money until we were well into our deliberations.
That's a good
fieldstone to start to build on.
If you want to increase
our recommendation, you have the ability to do that. But we're saying double the raises, do away with the benefits.
You were pointing out that the
if
premise
you want
was,
to triple the raises,
not the
you're
premise.
Entitled to do that.
Told me that was the premise, was to make it budget neutral.
That was the premise.
You're wrong about the history, Dave. We did a study and we showed that there was no proof that creating a county executive system would raise the cost. There was no proof that it would reduce the cost. It was not provable. And you're also... it's not clear that you have evidence that government costs more than it would have cost under the alternative system, because
right.
We know that some locations have increased in cost, and we know that some have reduced in cost. We know that the whole staffing level of the county government. So that's not proof. That's the Scottish verdict on that point, not proof.
When we had the argument about, you know, creating the county executive, many people brought up the idea, oh, we're going to have this large salary, it's going to have all this staff. It's going to increase that cost.
But it was not about
the increase of the cost. It was about the efficiency and the way government runs.
I think we came very close to losing the vote because of the allegations about cost. Quigley raised the allegations about cost and spent $25,000 on the campaign, and they almost lost.
Correct.
But there are two or three points that... it sounds to me like the arguments have been well made before I arrived, so... I drove 45 miles an hour because I'm an old guy.
Better to be safe.
But first of all, budget neutrality...
I was behind you. I passed you on Stone Ridge.
Budget neutrality doesn't apply to the whole budget. We're talking about budget neutrality for the legislative budget. Now, the reason that we wanted to be budget neutral is we made a judgment that the public would be concerned about increased salaries. And if we were budget neutral and we could manage something within a budget neutral model, we could address that concern. And there were members on our committee who were very concerned about a net increase in the they were concerned about this proposal because of the way it might appear if somebody didn't look at it carefully. But the net increase in the cost would be problematic. We couldn't get we wouldn't have success in convincing you to pay attention to it or the public to pay attention to it. Now let's look at some fundamental facts. The fundamental fact is that legislators don't like to increase their own pay because they're accountable to the public, and the public doesn't like politicians' pay to go up. And yet you're the sovereigns. You have to decide this. We can't decide it because you're elected to do it. So you're stuck. So we created this commission to say, okay, we're going to make recommendations to you, and then you can consider the recommendations and blame us. You know, I know that's what we did because I wrote that provision. now you can say, well, they have a recommendation, we're going to go along with it. You can also make that judgment at the point of transition between governments. So some people who are no longer self-interested can make a judgment. And they're, of course, they're not continuing in office. So that's a timing question. Now, you have a massive inequity in your compensation package. Some people are making a lot more compensation than other people. And that's because you're providing benefits and cash instead of just cash. And you're giving discretion to choose the medical option to the people who are presented with the option where a large portion, I think 90% of the cost, is absorbed by the government. First point, many public bodies don't provide medical insurance. It's not a policy, universal policy, and we provide evidence in many counties that don't do it in our database. Second, inequity should not be, in my judgment, be desirable for elected officials. You all come in, you have the same vote, you should have the same compensation. Now, we can't reach the pension, that's a separate state-related matter. Can't reach that. You are on your honor to tell us how much you work, and that affects your pension. We're not going to reach that. We can't reach the Social Security obligation of the county, the workers' compensation obligation of the county. So the elements that are reachable by the body, by the recommenders, are these two elements, the health insurance and the cash compensation. And we wanted to level that out without increasing the cost of politicians. So you can go out and say, if you want to, we didn't increase the cost of politicians. We redistributed the money among the politicians to be fairer. Now, as has been pointed out by John and others, I heard John say it, but others might have said it too in the room, somebody can go out and buy insurance. Now, they might not buy the insurance that costs $36,000 a year or $34,000 a year. They might buy the insurance account that costs $10,000 a year or $14,000 a year. That is no more than it, so they walk away with the same expense that they had before, with the cash income being the same. Well, that raises interesting questions. Are those people taking the so-called Cadillac because they can get it cheap, or are they taking the Cadillac because they need it? You know, if somebody says I can live with the $14,000 plan, even though I'm now getting the $34,000 plan, that's an interesting a question. And yet they can devote more of their income from the county government right up to the $20,000 option. They had that choice. So we were worried about certain values, equity, fairness. We were worried about leveling the playing field, and we were worried about this on a point that Dave Donaldson pointed out, that compensation hadn't been increased since 99 or 98. Now,
98, I believe
it's now. Dave's right, in a way. You know, you could do more. You can say we don't want to just be redistributed. We think that we haven't treated ourselves fairly. And we ran the numbers on some different paradigms, like what did the CSEA get? You know, what percentage increase? We ran what is the inflation rate? What would that do? And you could make those arguments if you want to. You're the policymaking body. But the recommenders said, look, this is politically doable and fair, and leaves a number of people with cash in their pocket relative to what they had before, and other people with a choice to buy what they're giving up if they want to buy it. And that seemed to us to be a fair outcome that was acceptable to the community and fairer to the members. That's why we did it, I think my colleagues would agree. And we went around a lot. We didn't agree when we started. We had a lot of discussions. I heard comment that we were engaged seriously over a long period of time, and that's actually, in my judgment, very fair description.
Very well summarized.
Yeah, that was excellent. I just wanted, before I ask Dave, I think if we were going to increase the budget, it should have been, legislators should have been on record of voting for it before Election Day. Now that it's past Election Day, which I think may have been on purpose, which we all know how political bodies work, I think anything other over and above budget neutral is unfair to the voters. I think I read the Freeman Online comments when the press release came out, and Legislator Ronk's comments, and the public is irate. They were not very nice comments about legislators after election getting raises, first of all, adding $96,000 to the budget. But I think it was disingenuous of this body to vote for it after Election Day to increase our salaries and compensation by that much. So if we're going to do something budget neutral, I'll support it. If we're going to do something that adds money after Election Day, I'm going to be adamantly opposed to it all the way. Legislator Donaldson.
Well, I think I put this out there long before Election Day.
But nobody was on record of voting for it.
I know that, but
you know, a lot of people hid. You did go on record.
I didn't support him. I don't hide from any vote I've ever taken or offered. And you point out, as you were pointing out, I mean, I was on the phone about 4 hours today, probably 2 hours on Sunday, another 2 hours on Saturday, because I get called, people talk to me, and I talk. I mean, I'm not going to cut people off. So, as you pointed out, we are legislators 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what it is. You get called, you deal with it. And again, my take on it is, and I certainly understand your argument about making it budget neutral dealing with the legislature, but I believe that the premise was wrong to begin in that manner. I think the premise needed to take a look at it. Was it justified to be a raise, or was it not justified? I understand that, you know, as Dr. Benjamin pointed out, maybe you were trying to protect us or trying to help us out by saying, because it's not, it's hard politically to justify raises, and I understand that. And, you know, I can read, and the people that report on, on those, you know, when you read these things, they're going to be people that they're not going to, as far as they're concerned, we should be paying to work here. That's the reality when it comes to some of these things. People don't know exactly what you do. And again, I go back to ancient Greece. Why do we pay elected officials? Because we want everybody that wants to run to run. I want to be able, a prime example is, I would not have been able to run for a legislative position when I first became elected as an alderman, because it was too much, it would have cost me too much money to run at that point. I was, I was in between, jobs. I was going back to school to get my certifications. And I quit my one job. I was moving on. It was a part-time job that I worked with as an alderman. I would not have been able to afford to run for the legislature. And the pay wouldn't have been attractive enough for me to give up my bartending job and a few other things that I was doing in order to make sure my family was fed. So my take on it is, I don't want just people of wealth running for office. I want anybody that has the ability that can actually get out there and talk to people and get them to run. Now, obviously, you need to have a few bucks to do that. And also, when you're, the thing is, you want to attract people to run. And I don't know. I get back into the other one. I think the budget neutral thing was a premise that, to me, was wrong.
Okay. Let's say, then we're going to wrap this
okay.
up.
Okay. All right. Look. No, may I just respond?
Yes, sir.
Because I did make a statement similar to that, which I still believe is a good rock to start building on. We could have come in and say, all right, we're going to meet for however long it takes to come up with a recommendation, but let's keep it under 20% increase of the budget. No, that's a silly way to start. You've got to start with budget neutral, and if the cost becomes a factor, then you build on that. And I believe that today. And indeed, the taxpayers were very much in line, and it has been well said. We have made recommendations to you, which open a door for you guys. You can step, and ladies, you can step through it, and you can blame us. But it works. It works.
I just have a quick question. Which one of the plans that we put forward do you think is
you know, would not attract people to run.
I don't know. At this point, what you're doing is you're, as Legislator Green pointed out, you're throwing in health insurance. And to me, I agree with you. We should have universal health care.
But we don't.
But we don't.
Okay, Dave, so if you don't have the floor.
So you're, well, you asked me a question.
Well, he's got to go through me.
So can I?
Okay. Okay. Legislator Donaldson, you got 1 minute.
Well, in other words, you're adding health care, and I understand that it is an issue dealing with budgetary matters, but the point is that it is also an issue of care that, you know, basically it's a health care issue. It's an issue that everybody should have health care. And what has happened is we go into this society that we're existing in now, and we bid one against another. Well, they got health care. I don't think that should be right. We should cut the health care on this person here. I mean, it gets pretty ugly.
Okay. All right. Legislator Green.
And besides that, we can't actually, in this resolution.
No, but we can put them together.
You got to do a policy. That means we have to sit here all night and work out a
policy. Not tonight. We're not doing it.
But, I mean, this can be done, and then you create a policy.
The problem is people are going to take the raises, then when they're going to say, well, let's increase the health insurance contributions. No.
Well,
we all know. We've been around a long time.
Well,
Dave, you know what, Dave? I hate to say it, and I'm not talking about you, but there's a lot of self-interest in here. And what's going in people's pockets. There's a lot of self-interest. It's not, people aren't putting the public first and what's right for them. And let's put it on a ballot. Let's have a referendum, a non-binding referendum, and see what the voters think. Let's do that. Because if we're really representing them, we would follow
and
their lead.
Let's put one on for the county executive. How much
let's do all of it.
Let's do that.
Let's play the green.
Run it right through the whole gamut.
I just wanted to say, in terms of equity, every legislator has the same ability to take the insurance or not take the insurance. The ones who don't take it because they don't need it. The ones who take it because they need it. So it's not like some legislators are being, favored or the salary is the same. And, for different employers
package.
That I've been familiar with, whether it's Benedictine Hospital or UCRA, people who didn't need insurance didn't take it because their spouse had insurance or in some other way they were covered. And people who needed insurance and people who work should be entitled to insurance, and people who don't work still should be entitled to health care.
So can I ask Dr. Benjamin?
We're part-time.
No part-timers get free health insurance.
They do. Every attorney that works for the county.
No, they don't.
They all do, the county.
Only hired after a certain time.
Unless they choose not to.
Anyway, it is an equal opportunity.
Can I make a quick comment? Then we should put a resolution in giving all of our part-time employees free health insurance, too. If we think we deserve free health insurance in this package, let's give it to all our part-time employees.
Richard, I think we do pay for a percentage.
Not for part-time. Not necessarily part-timers have a
percentage. We pay 10%, don't we?
First of all, I know you want to finish up. Last couple of years, I've been on this two committees working, the Narcan Committee and these folks. And I put a lot of thought and time in. I really think this has been very enlightening, what you've done, what you talked about. Now, right now, if we vote this resolution down, I don't mean tonight, then things stay the same as they are, correct?
Yeah, let's keep it. Yeah.
Yeah, there won't be any change.
Now, talking about how much you worked, maybe the dean of the political reporters over there can remember some legislators putting in that they worked 96 hours a week. Because when they opened, I didn't say that. When they opened the newspaper, they were working. When they were watching television, they were waiting for an incident in Route 28. The whole thing is intrinsically unfair. I mean, I guess if you said, if you don't take health insurance, we'll write you a check for $36,000. We'll write you a check for $36,000. Rich, you didn't take it. Oh, we don't want to do that. Let's bring it up. It's sort of like says, I don't really care. Well, let's just give us a raise. It's not fair. I mean, for years, I paid $1,200 to $1,400 a month for well care. Mm-hmm. I got the job as the Board of Elections. I thought I died and went to heaven. I think I took $28 every 2 weeks out. Wonderful. This, what they've come up with is great. We can modify it. We can change it. We can do nothing. We can double the salary, triple the salary, whatever anybody wants. I thank you for your efforts. I thank you, and you raised legitimate points.
Yeah.
I don't understand how difficult it is. So why is it so difficult?
People don't want to.
If you wanted to make a budget neutral, it's $20,000. You want to give a raise, like maybe Dave says, hand me a check for $30,000, and then I'll go over to see the lady over here and I'll buy my health insurance. What's wrong with that?
Because people want both.
Rich, very simple question.
Well, I guess
you count your father. You got what, five legislators here tonight? Okay, how many of the five here tonight, and you can go back to your caucuses and ask this question, do it for the money? You know what, they'll all say, oh no, I do it for the community service. I'm a real good patriot, and I just want to... No, the only one who ever said they did it for the money was Bob Aiello. He was the only one that ever said, I do it for the money. I mean, so let's be realistic.
Show me the money.
If you're saying you support this, then you're doing it for the money. Let's be real. You're not doing it for community service.
Okay. Sorry anymore, but thank you guys for everything.
Thank you all.
All right, well, I'd make a motion to move this thing. The thing is that no matter what you do, if this is not moved tonight, then it is dead.
That's not true.
No, you can't do it next year.
We can have a special meeting. We can have a spot.
You're not going to have the time.
No.
Because you got to have hearing. You have to have the public hearing and the public hearing.
Okay.
After the public hearing, you have to have some time, and then you have to
no,
have
you
the
don't.
Vote.
Can I have the floor for a second? We can have another meeting.
Legislative
Donson. Legislative Donson, I spoke to Vicki today. We can have a special meeting with invite all the legislators for a committee meeting to discuss it, set a public hearing, have the public hearing caucus night, then budget vote night. Well, actually, then there's another meeting after the budget vote on the 15th. The 9th is the budget vote. We have another meeting the 15th. We could have the public hearing and then vote on it after the public hearing. That's legal. And it wouldn't extend it out at all. Any time, any days.
It won't happen.
And I just want to say that we had a discussion at the last Ways and Means
meeting. Yeah,
everybody was interested in this. We got four people.
Well, I don't even know if they knew we were going to discuss it tonight.
Everybody
is on the agenda.
Everybody knows.
As a matter of fact,
we specifically invited Ways and Means to come to hear the committee and to ask the committee.
With the $4,000 raise, it would be at that point, like I said, you make your policy as you go. I mean, I will I make a motion to move this forward.
The motion we're voting on is the one that's Kenny Ronk and Rich Gerentine, which is a $4,000 raise.
Resolution 388. I'm going to second the motion.
And they asked me to put my name on it, and I did, even though
I didn't know
wanted actually, I originally had a three. But
Okay. Any more discussion?
Just to set the public hearing.
All in favor?
Yeah, don't associate it with the compensation.
No, we appreciate your work, and we're sorry people.
Please don't associate it with us.
It's not over yet.
$4,000 raise for everybody.
They don't care. Listen, nobody wants to lose anything. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 3-2. Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
I just really want to understand the process, how it went from here to there.
2 years, you get a 40% raise. We know where people's interests are. Listen, it's fine. And Nana Joe gets free electric too in her compensation package.
45 cents a charge.
$4,000 raise for everybody. Legislator, majority leader. Pardon me? It's in here.
It's 4,000 across
the board. It's out of order. It's near the end of the agenda. 488. It's for the.
Okay.
It's in the order. It was on the agenda. Now you can sign out.
Okay.
I think you have a blue pen to sign.
Okay. Resolution 364, setting a public hearing on to modify the appointment process of the audit committee and clarify the audit authority of said committee. Again, I think that needs to be, it won't be on the, it wouldn't be on the ballot. Let's postpone it till next year. That's not going anywhere. That would be in November.
Oh, that's got to go on in November. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You know what? Let's wait till the new legislature.
So you move to postpone it, Rich?
Yeah.
Second?
I'll second that.
All right. Any discussion?
For that.
No, 364, the second one. Okay, we have a motion and a second to postpone 364. That's the audit committee one. That's the one that got put in response to the resolution to not have the executive allow him to veto it. That this is in response to that. So, there's a motion, second. All in favor? Opposed?
Wait, I just want to be clear. I know you want to get through it, but I want to be clear what I'm voting on.
You're looking good.
Well. Hey, thanks. Everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Good night, everyone. Nice
thank you. Great, right. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. We'll talk to you soon, Brian. Okay, we're going to move on. We voted, Manager. 386. Well, listen, you don't vote, you're a no vote if you don't vote. Setting a public hearing up on local law.
Manager, I'll argue with. This is 364.
To modify, we're on 386 now.
386, is that correct?
Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 18, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter to modify the appointment process of the Charter.
I'd like that to be postponed.
Okay.
Now, wait, I'm getting a little confused here. 364 was the one on the modifying the audit committee.
That was, yes.
All right, and so we postponed in that.
Yes.
And you supported the postponement of that.
Well, no, she didn't vote.
Well,
that's I wasn't given a chance.
She wasn't given
vote.
A chance. Yes, so give her a chance to vote.
We had these resolutions for a week.
Well, it doesn't matter. We're just looking at it. We're just going to argue over another one.
I wanted to go from the agenda to the actual resolution to be sure what I was voting on, and I still need a minute to process it. Okay, I'm a yes vote.
Okay, so it's 5-0.
Joe.
So 386 had moved to postpone by.
So we're on 386. This is the sponsor is John, setting a public hearing to modify the appointment process of the Charter Revision Commission. He requests that it be postponed.
Yeah, I think what we have to do is take a comprehensive look at all
and
these things
all
so
together.
We put it in together next year.
Yeah.
But we need to start on this, and I'd hope to start on this in January so we don't end up going beyond the time that you can actually do this.
That's correct.
The very same thing that the problem we had with the compensation. Same thing. I brought that up 3 months ago because I wanted to deal with the time.
We should put the compensation off until next year. 2 years. Who cares?
Well, I don't care. I certainly don't need the $4,000. I can tell you that.
No, well, that's.
So you're seconding 386 to postpone?
Yes.
Maybe one day I would have detonated. Mm-hmm.
All in favor of postponing it? Okay. Opposed?
He did 388.
Okay.
426.
426, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered in the county insurance department. I didn't see
what
this
is
one.
Why is that here?
It's late, probably.
Because that comes before you insurance.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
The next one's late.
What is this one now?
It's going to go to this one went through Ways and Means, too, right?
426. It's going to go through Ways and Means. But it has to come through you first.
So that'll be on tomorrow.
It's on the back side.
Oh, it's a workers' comp one. This is the one where they was privatized, right?
Yes.
Why is it going to, coming to us?
Because you guys do insurance. Then it's in your chart.
This is the, all right, this is where we shipped off those jobs to Rochester, right? Rochester? Is that where this is done?
I'm not sure where this company is, but in the, here in Buffalo. Lafayette Square, Buffalo.
Oh, all right. We shifted those jobs off to Buffalo.
Off to Buffalo.
We shuffled them off to Buffalo. That's the compensation thing. We shuffled those jobs off to Buffalo.
These guys?
No. This is what the 426 is.
Yeah.
Has it been moved?
So I want to move 426? Or not?
Well, you can move it.
I'll move it.
Can you explain it again, Dave? I'm sorry.
Well, this used to be done by us. This was done as part of the county used to do this. There was employees that worked to do this workers' comp stuff. And I believe that's what this is, isn't it, John?
This is the second of the 2 1-year options.
Yes, to extend the term
of the agreement. So we've been doing it with them for a while.
Yeah, we started last year. Well, when did it start? Yeah,
okay.
The year before.
All right, so we've done. Legislator Roberts made a motion. I'll second it. We've been doing it. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Opposed is Legislator Johnson. So carried 4-1. Okay, resolution 388.
You did already.
Oh, yeah, we did that one. The late resolution we're on now. Late resolution 447, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned property to the original owner, Department of Finance.
I'll move.
No-brainer.
Yeah,
Legislator Green made a motion. Legislator Johnson, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 5-0.
I have one question. Do you know where we are? Is it possible still for the... for the budget to include that $15, I mean, did it have to come from us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was told
we had a resolution in.
Yeah.
And I got 6 or 7 signatures. Number of people, since we're going to explain it, on the Republican side said they liked it, but it was a Democratic initiative. If you can't get your Democrats on board, that means they don't want to hear it. They don't want to have the $15.
How many signatures did I get? 6 or 7, Dave?
Okay, so...
So it's over.
In questioning, because I do believe in $15 an hour minimum, and I thought it was a good model, but I was told that that can be done in the budget, that it doesn't have to come from the resolution.
The executive could pay everybody $20 an hour. My whole thing was to at least make a statement.
To say he had to do what we said.
It was less than that, that's all.
Okay.
And everybody knows it was about 6 or 8 people that really affected.
Yes, it was, and that was actually one of the reasons.
In particular, the Democrats didn't want it. That's where it came from.
Well, it was less than less than the impact of the few people, but it was a statement. To me, it was a statement to the public and everyone else that...
It would have been a nice debate to have a discussion to have.
It was
nothing
a good statement to make.
However anybody voted,
it affected very little people.
And
because that would be the first step, and then the next step is we raise minimum wage in Ulster County.
Okay,
which we
can
do.
When I asked about it, people said that can just be done in the budget.
Who said it?
I don't remember at this point.
Well, nobody ever asked me that.
Well, that's why I was asking now.
He could if the county executive wanted to stick
Yeah, but he could also pay somebody $7 an hour or $8 an hour or $10. He could do what he wants.
This was a
so if we set a policy, that means
trying,
nobody could come in under $15 an hour.
This was not the county executive.
This was a set of policy.
It was a statement.
He went on record to support it up in Albany.
We didn't want it, so that's the end of it. You know, nobody can run around saying that, it's not fair that we're not paying it. We all had a vote. We all had an opportunity to debate it.
Okay. Any other new business? Old business? Motion
happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back at it tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Legislator Donaldson. Second, Legislator Roberts.
And it.
All in favor?
Aye.
7:40.
Thank you for